It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's...
Joe Shearer.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host...
Chris Lloyd.
I want a party. I want a samba.
Probst as well.
Richard Probst is here with the independent critic. But this is Fill Me Up Radio. I'm Joe Shearer.
I'm Christopher Lloyd.
And we were just talking about our dear departed friend Gina Wagner, who is still among the living, but don't get me wrong, she just doesn't live here anymore.
She
died in a tragic moving accident.
She departed our club.
Yeah. She's onward and upward to Michigan.
Our dear departed friend, but she's still part of the living.
She may be listening. Maybe we'll email her and she can listen to this first few seconds in her little soundbite there.
She's still to shed a tear.
She might. Yeah, she's. Of course, that might be from roller derby injuries, not from.
Probably. Also, there's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did we say Richard's real name in there anywhere? Because we probably should.
Richard's real name? As opposed to my stage name?
I didn't know Richard had a real name.
Your venue that you're from, the Independent Critic.
I am from the IndependentCritic.com. I'm Richard Probst.
There you go.
There you go, Richard Probst, Independent Critic. Okay, Fill Me Up Radio.
What's the Fill Me Up?
It's a film site where we never stop yapping.
Yes, what did you call it today, Chris? An online movie critics hub?
Yeah, we're a hub.
Yeah.
Where
movie critics go?
We hub it out.
Or that dispenses movie critics?
A little bit of that.
Yeah, either or.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on...
A little of this, a little of that.
We both disseminate film criticism and, spontaneously combust new critics.
We disseminate and what?
You should check out their graveyard page. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there are movies coming out this week, right?
Yes, there are.
The cinema still exists.
Yeah, although, this is kind of a, here we are, believe it or not, midsummer movie-wise, and it's actually kind of the slow week because, we've had Fast and the Furious and Star Trek and Iron Man and all the great big movies.
Mm-hmm. What are we waiting for next?
Well, next week is Superman.
Oh.
Man of Steel. Yes.
And guess what? Anybody who wants to see that ahead of time? As in Tuesday before opening, come to thefillmeup.com and enter to win passes.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, thefillmeup.com. Thefillmeup.com.
To see it for free.
Where is that?
I forgot.
And for all we know, Richard, are you giving away the same passes on your site?
They never give me the good films.
You're kidding.
They never do.
You have like eight.
So what can people see if they go to your site, Rich?
You have like
I got like the sixth screening of The Kings of Summer.
Or you can go to theindependentcritic.com and see Rob Zombie's latest.
There you go. They shouldn't let them diss you like
Rob
that.
I love Rob Zombie. Don't knock him.
But we do have some movies coming out this week. At least one or two kind of mid profile. Probably the biggest one is the Internship, which all day long I've been saying The Internship, which I don't know why, but of course now this is repairing up Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, who did Wedding Crashers, if you can believe it, 9 years ago.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah. And neither of their careers have really kind of done much since then. Vince Vaughn made The Breakup, which is pretty good, but not much else.
And he made Jennifer Aniston since then.
Yeah.
Oh, why, yes. Okay.
So, here they are trying to get back together. And I've actually read different things saying that when they do these surveys of like asking people what movie are you most looking forward to this summer, once you get past those tier of the big, comic book hero movies, this movie, The Internship, has been consistently rated as like one of the top ones that people are looking forward to, just because I think people are hoping that these two guys getting together will recapture the glory of the Wedding Crashers.
Of course, that was a Google report that said it. So.
Yeah.
So the setup here is that they are two 40-something salesmen of wristwatches, which is to say they are dinosaurs in need of some new way to make a living. They lose their jobs, and so they decide to take up these internships at Google, the search behemoth. And so I believe we've got a little audio preview type trailer thing there.
Let's have a listen.
I defy you to crush this course and not get psyched out of your mind.
I'm gonna hunt some bags. I only got $20 in my pocket.
The Chrono Shock 13.
They didn't tell you, did they? Your company is closed.
You closed the company?
Everything's computerized now.
People have a deep mistrust of machines. Have you seen Terminator? Yep. Or two?
Mm-hmm.
Or three? Or four?
All of them.
Vic, I got it. Google.
You got us a job at Google.
Not a job. It's an interview for an internship that could lead to a job. Nick, this might be the last chance that we got.
Come in here. You got to come in closer. Yeah. They won't be able to see. See how small the webcam is? No, get you to cheat.
We can see you guys.
Okay, good.
Great. You got us?
Hi, my name is Billy.
We can hear you fine as well.
Oh, great.
Welcome to Google. This will not be your average internship.
We're looking at some sort of mental hunger games against a bunch of genius kids for just like a handful of jobs.
That's a Sharpie, by the way, genius.
That's my fault.
I'm Lyle, one of the team managers. Pound me.
Oh, normally just putting the fist out without the words is all that's necessary.
Come on, bro. Fist me again.
Yeah, that's definitely not right.
Your interns?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Deal with it.
You're so old, though. I thought you were important.
Sometimes the long shots pay off the biggest.
Our team's a joke.
You guys got to start believing.
This reminds me of a little girl from a steel town who had the dream to dance.
She had to strip down to nothing. She had to sit in that chair and arch her back, and she reached up and pulled the chain to nowhere and doused herself with water.
Flash dance? We're talking about the movie from the 80s.
Yeah, you're damn right I am.
Oh, boy.
We have rules. The red paddle indicates no. Green paddle, having a beer with your boss.
If you want to grab a cold one with me, you let me know.
I will not be grabbing a cold one with you.
You get high?
Your job? Find the bug.
Why don't the two of you guys right now go and find the programmer?
His name is Charles Xavier.
He's a professor at Stanford.
He's in a wheelchair.
Got it. Stanford wheelchair.
Yes.
Charles Xavier?
Very funny.
Professor Xavier, we know that it's you.
You found me out. Cyclops, Rogue, we're all here. Now, I want to share some of my wisdom with you.
Oh, my God! Professor Xavier's a total...
All right, the internship. Richard, you apparently saw this quite a while ago at a... We should say that this is a movie they've been screening all over Indiana sort of secretly,
mm-hmm.
but not officially for critics. So
it seems like it's been playing a lot of campuses, too.
Yeah.
Three people I know have seen it on a campus, I saw it on a campus. Yeah.
So you
places too,
so you like donned a disguise and snuck into one of these?
I have a disability. I can get away with anything.
Oh, really?
I can.
Well, apparently you can go to the front of the line of all the rides at Disney World, from what I read.
Exactly.
Comments by Richard Probst, not necessarily
reflective. I'm actually the one they pay. Exactly.
So,
you say you saw this in Richmond? Yes.
That's why, because you were in Richmond.
Did you go disguised as Matt Soucy? I am Footless Matt. There you go, Kobe. Has it been 6 minutes?
It is. We're behind schedule. I said 5:06. Richard makes a foot joke. 5:34 to 5:40. Richard rocks the boat.
The reason I asked about the disguise was because, of course, all the studio reps who work the screenings here in Indianapolis know all of us, and you know we would get busted if we tried to sneak into one of those. So what did you think of the movie?
You know, it's funny. Even trying to remember it, it's been about 3 weeks for me, and my instant reaction was it was a friendly movie. You know, it was not one I hated. It was not one I loved.
It's harmless.
It was harmless. You know, it was fun. It was way too long.
It's neutral. It's inert.
Yeah.
It's neutered.
Exactly. It didn't feel fresh because, you know, we've seen them do this kind of shtick before. They do this shtick well, but... Yeah.
I think our colleague Nick Rogers referred to it as a pleasant film.
Yeah.
And he said, I mean that in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't regret having seen it. I don't regret having seen it in Richmond. But on the other hand, I'm kind of glad I didn't pay to see it.
Yeah. That's probably a good way to talk about it. I saw it just last night, so it's a little fresher for me. And it's just sort of, you know, you have to think because, you know, we see so many movies, you know, at these press screenings and preview screenings, and we're not paying for them. And you always have to think, like, okay, that was a reasonably entertaining movie, but, you know, would I want to shell out $23 for me and my girl to go see it. And boy, that suddenly raises a much higher bar.
It really does.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if I could, I mean, I don't think I could give it that recommendation. It's a decent movie. It's the sort of thing you wait for it to come out on video and see. You know, it's got this preposterous setup of these guys, you know, who are really, really old, which is to say about our age, trying to start a second career. And, of course, the internships are for college students. They never quite get around how it is that they managed to, you know, get in for this thing for 20 and 21-year-olds. They claim that they enrolled at the University of Phoenix, the online college. Right. Okay, but just enrolling isn't enough, and I'm sure somebody has to check on that. Wouldn't they have to actually take a class from the University of Phoenix? But, okay, whatever. And you get sort of the inevitable love interest of, you know, someone there. There's a gal at Google, and, of course, she doesn't like him because he's... I don't know why, because he's Owen Wilson.
He's a slacker.
And that's enough reason to dislike someone right there.
He's going to end up trying to kill himself again.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes, I went there.
That was alleged.
Alleged. Okay, he will allegedly try. Okay.
And I'm not saying that, you know, movies like this, you know, should make him want to reconsider the outcome of that life choice. But clearly he could do better than this. And Vince Vaughn, I mean... Vince Vaughn has made a very nice career for himself for going on 20 years now of doing that motor mouth charmer thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he keeps making these movies where he starts talking faster and faster and keeps saying things and he can't stop. And the whole, the whole calisthenics of him, you know, doing that becomes its own thing. And, you know, I'm ready for him to see him do something else, or at least try something.
The thing
else
is, I don't think he can.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me. I think this is truly what he can do. He does it well, but at some point it's going to burn out.
He's a male Meg Ryan, you know. Meg Ryan had one thing going for her, and she was the best thing at that, of being the cute girl next door. But when then people got tired of it, she didn't have a career anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, so I think we get an idea of what we're thinking about this movie.
I'm kind of thinking.
Yeah, it's not hella bad. There you go.
All right.
All right, Joe, you want to start us off with our next movie?
Sure, yeah. Our next one is a sort of a, I don't know what you call it, a socio-political thriller. Ooh. In some sense.
Horror movie?
Yeah, it's kind of a what-if science fiction morality play, to, you know.
You said a lot of words here.
That
today,
was a lot
Joe.
Of words that didn't really mean anything.
Wait a minute, you've seen the Smurfs too?
That's a spoiler, Richard. We're not supposed to talk about the Smurfs.
In a world.
So anyway, this movie is The Purge, starring Ethan Hawke as the head of a family living in suburban America. Not even suburban, like super rich suburbia. There is a certain little twist to our little film, which is that this is the year 2022. For one night every year, for a span of 12 hours, all crime is legal. So at 7 p.m., anything goes until 7 a.m. You can't call the cops. You can't call the fire department.
Oh, yeah, and they're not responding anyway.
Yeah, they're participating. People are encouraged actively to maim and murder to their heart's content, specifically people of a lower socioeconomic standing.
Well, unofficially.
Unofficially. Yeah. They don't really condone that, but... You know, that's who you should go
but
after.
It's obvious.
We can't judge.
So anyway, let's have a little listen to the Purge.
People a release for all the hatred and violence that they keep up inside them.
Why don't you guys kill someone tonight?
Because we don't feel the need to, Johnny.
Just remember all the good the Purge does.
We'll be fine just like always, no worries, okay?
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual Purge. At the siren, all emergency services will be suspended for 12 hours. Your government thanks you for your participation.
Help me! Someone, please, help me! I just need you
keep someone safe. Does anybody hear me?
Let's go! This way!
Tony! No!
This way, hurry!
Why did you let him in our home? We have no idea who's after him.
Our target for this year's purge is hiding in your home. You have 1 hour to find him and get him to us, or we'll kill all of you.
They can't get in here, right? They can't get into our home.
Nothing is ever going to be okay again.
All right, there you go, The Purge. So we should maybe dig into the bones of that a little bit. The general outcome of The Purge is societally is positive. Unemployment is at 1%. Crime is at record lows. But there is obviously this thing where
the death and mayhem thing.
Yeah, yeah. This one night where, you know, you can just, anyone can be murdered and right. Everybody kind of shrugs and they go off to work the next day.
And so there's this aspect of, you know, the country has now this new leadership called the New Founding Fathers that have in some ways taken the country back to the olden ways, the biblical Old Testament, you know, smiting and fury and wrathful vengeance kind of stuff.
Well, although again, they never actually say that.
No, but there's definitely an aspect of religiosity in the movie because people talk about this as a purging. It's almost like, you know, Catholics going to confession and then you unburden yourself and you're the slightest way clean. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is that people have this time once a year to do this. So it's a positive thing both for individuals to do and as a society.
Release the beast is kind of their tagline.
Release the beast, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so anyway, Ethan Hawke is the patriarch of this family, a teenage daughter, sort of a preteen son, and of course the beautiful wife. And they are very rich, and he sells security systems that are, you know, ostensibly protect the rich from, you know, the outside world during this one night. Of course, they have their own system, which, due to an act of compassion by their son, is undone for a moment.
Yep, and the purging is let into their house, both on a physical and metaphorical level. Interesting film. You know, been a lot of discussion about it. It's been done pretty awfully on the tomato meter last I checked it. Yeah. I think it was like at 40% or something like that. Yeah. Our colleague Nick Rogers over at thefilmyap.com has a very interesting and positive review of the film.
Yes, yes.
I'm somewhere in the middle of that. It's such an audacious, original concept. I mean, you know, ridiculous to a certain extent in that.
Kind of Hunger Games-y
little. It's very much got that Hunger Games-y feel to it. But instead of doing sort of, you know, going to something a little more intellectual, you know, more old sci-fi kind of, you know, like, you know, cautionary tales kind of stuff, they kind of go into pretty much what ends up being a pretty straight action movie, horror film. And I say horror film in that it's a lot of the tropes of horror films. Someone walking down a hallway with a knife and there's people after them. And, you know, it's like, where is the scream going to – is it going to come from the left? Is it going to come from the right? Oh, there it is. Mm-hmm. And I literally lost count of the number of times where someone was about to die, where their, you know, would-be killer is, you know, lingering over them with the gun or the knife or the axe or whatever they're going to kill them with. You know, like, you know, doing the pullback to do the mm-hmm. final death blow and then – something happens.
And the volume and the music increases.
And an off-screen.
Literally, that happens at least a half a dozen times. So it was such an audacious concept, and then I felt the movie just sort of lost ambition. They could have done something a lot more interesting, and they just kind of went the obvious way.
Yeah.
I was the thing for me was I left the screening thinking, well, this is a nice middle-of-the-road film. Mm-hmm. You know, it worked for me in some ways, but – you know, I love the atmosphere in most ways. The original score I thought was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I noticed a day later I was still thinking about the film. And mm-hmm. I was still processing the film. And I was, you know, starting to kind of dialogue the way what's his name did.
Yeah.
You're right. You should know who it is.
Nick.
Thank you very much, Nick. Sorry, Nick, if you're listening. But, you know, I started thinking about all the little flaws. The fact that, you know, all criminal activity is legal during this 12 hours, but we only ever saw murder.
Yeah.
You know, that blew me away because I thought, you know, people would try so much to get away with other things.
Sure.
And
robbing jewelry stores.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so you could have enough money to last you until next Purge Day.
Well, and then I would come back with all of that stuff probably happened, but the point of the film, and you may even want to go into some of the media implications of that. What sells the most is, you know, mayhem and destruction and death.
That's why the film app is so popular.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
And we should mention, akin to Hunger Games, that all of the not all the mayhem, but much of the mayhem is televised, that people have security cams get to see all this stuff.
Yeah.
So even if you're not partaking, you can be a witness.
Yeah. Wait a minute, did you say it's like televised on like the network TV or
it's kind of
security cameras are linked into a national network,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The Purge channel.
Yeah, well, and there's when you get to
and what do they broadcast?
12 hours a day, one day a year.
I was gonna say, what do they broadcast the other 364 and a half days out of the
Purge
year?
Purge highlights 2012.
It's the Oprah Winfrey Network.
That'd be the one channel on the cable that they would make you pay extra for. You have to carry it, even though it only broadcasts 12 hours a year.
I would like to mention the man billed as Polite Stranger. That's the only name he's given.
Yeah, and I didn't write down his the actor's name because he is really good.
Yeah, his name is Reese Wakefield.
Yeah.
And he has this very Joker-esque kind of grin.
Yeah.
He is a part of a group of these. They seem to be sort of a preppy kind of group of people who
well-heeled kids. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very polite when they say if you don't do what we want, we are going to very brutally, bloodily murder you.
Right.
And he was very nice about it the whole time. He's a very creepy figure.
Awesome.
And a friend of mine who was at the screening with us said, you know, if they ever remake A Clockwork Orange, they have their man.
Yeah.
He made me think of Patrick Bateman, too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very creepy. He's very effective in his role.
Very effective.
It's sort of anticlimactic, his sort of final act, I think.
Yeah,
nonetheless, he's very strong.
Yeah, well, the final act, which comes after that, mm-hmm. I agree that moment is somewhat of doesn't really go anywhere. But they telegraphed it very early in the movie, and I don't know, this is such an intriguing idea for a movie. I just wasn't that impressed with the actual movie that they did make. Although I will readily admit that what they did make was made with skill.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I count myself as a big fan of the movie. We've thrown the term B movie around a lot, mm-hmm. and it does turn into that. It's kind of high concept at the beginning and kind of turns into that. And I thought it was very well done, very good.
I thought it was a good movie, but I thought it could have been a great movie.
It could have been. There were a few little things.
So I'd say we're going to average this out to probably about a pretty...
Now that was a good movie!
There we go.
All right, next up we've got The Kings of Summer, which is a little independent film. People have asked me to compare this to other movies, and you know, Stand By Me is kind of the closest, even though they're not really the same, in that this is more of a comedy, but you know, with some life lessons, and that, you know, instead of 12-year-olds, we're dealing with 15-year-olds, and there's kind of an ocean of difference there, not only in terms of their maturity level, but the basic story is, you know, young men out in the wilderness finding themselves as men, you know. Mm-hmm. And probably nobody that you've heard of, I think Gabriel Sasso, if I got that
Basso.
Right. Yeah, thank you. And Nick Robinson are the two main leads. Mm-hmm. So let's take a little bit of a preview listen to The Kings of Summer.
Your finals due a week ago. I mean, look at the board. School's over. We're playing hangman here.
Tools out of the driveway now.
No! Who's this, Patrick?
Kelly,
a girl. That's a pleasant surprise.
Joe.
We'll call you back sometime before his hot new bedtime of 7:30.
My house, my rules.
It ends today.
Yes, it does.
Joe, my parents are killing me.
So you wore the blue shirt today, not the one with the pocket?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Rope in the attitude, mister. This
Come
is your
on,
mother
buddy.
You're speaking to.
Come on.
Huh? Huh? Who is he doing a show for?
Girl check. Checking for a girl in a bikini.
What could you be showing me in the woods right now?
This is the side of our new house, man.
What, like a tree house?
No, like a real house.
No parents, no one telling us what to do.
We make the rules.
Hold on. What is this kid doing here?
I'm afraid to tell him to leave. I don't know what he's capable of.
Patrick, Biagio, the forest is ours.
No one will find us out here.
Chances of being born.
Do you think that Joe would run away to prove a point?
We don't know that they've run away.
You're right, it's a classic kidnapping. They took our children and the canned goods and pasta.
Take some heart, being born quite so young.
We do swear to never speak of this enterprise to any adult. To be our own men. To boil our own water. And kill our own food.
I'm surprised you found a live chicken in these woods.
Yep.
Joe, what are we gonna tell our parents?
My name is Jamal Colorado, and I have kidnapped your son.
Anferny, Texas?
Deshaun, Utah.
Yeah, I decided on the format of Denzel Washington, a black first name followed by a state.
Good effort, although savagely racist.
All right, you may have recognized the voice there. That was also co-starring as one of the fathers of one of the boys is Nick Offerman, a.k.a. Ron Swanson, yes, from Parks and Recreation, a.k.a. he's sort of become like the official, unofficial demigod of Indiana manhood.
And with good reason.
Ron Swanson, not just Nick Offerman. Yeah. So, Richard, what was your take on The Kings of Summer?
You know, I'd had like three or four of my friends tell me that, you know, this was the best coming-of-age film they had seen. So I went in with pretty high expectations. I wasn't completely let down. I really enjoyed it. For me, the film didn't completely gel, and there were some photography things that bugged me. Kind of amateur. And I didn't look up the director's filmography.
Both he and the screener are rookies. This is their first feature film.
There's a reference to a certain animal that plays a key role at the end of the film that I thought was overplayed throughout the film. You know, it's like, okay, we get the point. This is something we need to know. There were several moments like that I just thought were a little paint by numbers for me. But that said, I enjoyed the performances. I enjoyed the feeling of the film. I liked the young people. I thought Nick Robinson, who plays Joe, is really good in the film. Alison Brie, who was his older sister, I thought was also very good. It's one of those films. I enjoyed it. It made me feel good. Didn't quite live up to it. Kind of, as we kind of mentioned off the air, it kind of faded a little bit towards the end. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I thought the photography there in the woods is very lovely. I'm not sure it was completely made clear in the preview there that the deal is that these guys are sick of their families, so they decide to spend the summer before their sophomore year in high school. They're going to literally just run away from home and build a little shanty in the woods and live there as men and hunt animals, which doesn't work so well because they end up going to, like, getting their food from Boston Market. And they have swords. I never did figure out why it was that they had swords, although I'm pro-sword, so it wasn't like I was, you know, against the swords.
They were good with the swords.
They were good with the swords.
If,
but
if they outlaw swords, only outlaws will have swords.
Men in the woods with swords.
Moises Arias, I thought, was hilarious.
Yeah, and he plays a character named Biagio, if I'm saying that right, who's just this strange little guy that no one even, you know, he's in their class, but no one really knows him. He's just sort of that weird kid that no one talks to and occasionally tries to insert himself into social situations where he doesn't belong. And so he does that here exactly with just the two of them. He joins them on their little quest and ends up living with them there in the woods. And starts off as just sort of a one joke character and kind of becomes like a one and a half joke character, but they give him a little bit of a backstory and thing later.
He had kind of heart to him there.
Yeah,
by the end, I thought,
even though there wasn't much story to the character, I agree. He ended up becoming sort of a, you know, an emotional, maybe sort of like the emotional center of the film. Is that overstating it?
I don't think it is.
Yeah. So I would say I would definitely recommend this movie. Of the movies we're talking about this week, this is the one I would definitely recommend.
I hope so. I really hope this film finds an audience. I think it deserves it.
Okay. Okay, we're going to just mention a couple other new releases, which unfortunately none of us have seen. At Any Price, which is a drama. It looks very interesting, which stars Dennis Quaid as a farmer, sort of trying to keep his farm going, you know, in the mega farm era where all the other farms are being bought up. Wants his son, played by Zac Efron, to succeed him in the business, but he wants to be a race car driver. And I don't know too much about it. I heard some very good things about it, and they actually mm-hmm. did screen this one for us, but I couldn't make it to it. It was like a month ago almost. And we should also mention Stories We Tell, which is the third film directed by Sarah Pauley, very mm-hmm. well-known Canadian actress.
Yeah.
But this is a documentary about her family and the secrets of her families, and specifically of her mother, who passed some time ago, and now all these new revelations about her mother's life and how it impacts her family and herself and her father and all sorts of things are going on there. I've heard very, very, very good things about it. I really wish they would have screened it for us so we could tell you more about it other than just
I'm excited about this one. I'll definitely see this one this weekend.
Yeah. If you don't know Sarah Pauley, she was the female lead in the remake of Dawn of the Dead several years ago. She was in Adam McGoyan's The Sweet Hereafter we mentioned a little while ago off the air. And then the film she's made Away From Her, very well received, and one called Take This Waltz, which stars Michelle Williams and Seth Rogen. I give that a very high recommendation if you've not seen
it. Very high.
Yeah, very good movie. So, she has assembled a nice filmography in both as an actor and a director.
I think I prefer her as a director.
Yeah, I think so.
She's just got a nice touch.
Yeah. Got her, you know, kind of had a still does has a reputation as sort of an indie queen, independent film mm-hmm. gal, and then she stars in a zombie movie. So of course,
yeah.
Therefore
yeah.
Let's face it,
she doesn't have a lot of range as an actress.
But seriously, someone who's a big independent film person that says, "Yeah, I'll do a big mainstream zombie movie,"
yeah.
That's you know, you get a big brownie points in my book right there. did want to mention some special screenings real quick. We've got the Indianapolis Museum of Art's Summer Movie Nights kicks off tonight. They got a pretty ambitious lineup this year. They kind of went a little further afield, got some classic films, some other stuff. They're starting with a classic tonight, 1959's Pillow Talk, the original romantic comedy with Rock Hudson and Doris Day about two young people in New York sharing a party phone line. If you don't know what that is, ask your mother or possibly even ask your grandmother.
Yeah, probably your grandmother. Yeah.
Yeah. very lovely little film. That starts at dusk, which is probably going to be about 9:30 tonight. Keystone Art Cinema has got their midnight movie shows going mm-hmm. with Willow,
yeah.
the much underrated, in my opinion, 1988 fantasy film directed by Ron Howard. It was a big flop at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Written by George Lucas, I believe, right?
He did the story and was the producer. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite pieces of movie trivia I love to throw out, of course, is George Lucas had been harried by movie critics all his life. In general, and by one in particular, Pauline Kael, the late, great Pauline Kael from The New Yorker. And so, as the ultimate revenge/compliment, he named one of the villains in this movie after Pauline Kael. That's the fearsome General Kael. And I actually read this today. I didn't know this. Apparently, there's a dragon in the movie, too. I'm not sure if it's actually named, but apparently that's called the Ebersisk.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah,
a couple of people.
Yeah, that's a very good movie. It's actually just recently came out on Blu-ray, I watched it with my kids, and they loved it. It's a very good sort of sword and sorcery type film. Warwick Davis, of course, Val Kilmer, the film that introduced Val Kilmer and Joanne Whalley to each other.
Yeah, Warwick Davis, he was really young when he made this. I think just a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Is Willow Smith in it?
No.
Oh, okay. Nor is Willow from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Flip my hair, flip my sword and shield. IMAX downtown has got Great White Shark 3D. That should be pretty exciting.
Yes.
And also Popped Up Cinema, they've got their next show is coming up June 22nd at Highland Park with Racing Dreams. Mm-hmm. Great documentary from Film Fest three years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the IMAX to see the Great White Shark, say hi to Craig Mintz for us, the manager of the theater there.
He is one of the serial perpetrators of great cinematic local offerings.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Any local stuff that goes on, chances are he has had some hand in it somewhere along the way. So tell him thanks.
He's very handy. So you want to take a quick break and we'll come back with the video store?
Sure, why not?
Let's do it. You're listening to Film Sociology, film talk show on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org.
Who is that talking?
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Come on, Kobe, open it up. Where are the keys?
Hang on. Wait, just
right,
wait.
While Kobe's getting the keys, we'll...
Hang on.
There.
Is it the century?
No, it's the square one.
It's a square. Okay.
The
square,
gold
silver
one.
Square gold.
The gold.
Square gold.
Yeah. Okay. Doors.
All okay, right. We're open.
Sorry. And there are lo-fi special effects.
We've killed the budget for the year.
So the video store is open. Let's step inside on the new release shelf this week. First off is a comedy starring Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy, known to fans from Bridesmaids. And what is the show? She's on Mike and Molly, I believe, on CBS. Mm-hmm. It is called Identity Thief, and it's about a guy and a girl who end up in a car and they're stealing things, and there's crashes and explosions. And
that's not what it's about. Okay.
So, all right. Well, then let's just listen, and you can figure out what it's about yourself.
When that comes up, we gotta cut the card. Swipe it one more time. Nothing wrong with that card.
I gotta cut the card.
Don't cut the card.
I gotta cut the
scissors
card.
Down.
Go pay your bills, Randy.
It's Sandy.
Sandy?
Es un nombre de una mujer. Yo soy Sandy. Ay, mi nombre es Sandy.
I bet that was hurtful, wasn't it?
It's Patterson. You missed your court date in Florida 3 days ago.
I've never even been to Florida.
Blue mugshot. That says the criminal who stole your identity.
Oof, boy, he's, is that a woman?
Sandy Bigelow. Patterson.
Every day I'm hustling.
What do you do now? You go down, you go get her?
Oh, no. She'd have to be standing right here to do you any good.
That's the new standard of police work? What if I go down to Florida and bring her back here? You would have to clear my name, right?
Daddy, the TV's broken.
I'm gonna fix it. That's why I have to go on this trip.
This is crazy. You don't chase criminals.
I can handle her. She's like a hobbit. I'm going after Bilbo.
Gotcha.
Sandy, Bigelow, Patterson. We can do it the hard way or the easy way.
I'd like to pick the easy way.
You're fighting it.
I'll fight it like it, girl. Sandy. I love that guitar. I'm going to sue you.
That was not the easy way.
Paolo.
Holy. Come with me to Denver, and I won't press charges. You're going to love it. There's nobody shooting at you there.
You got nothing.
Hey, I can do this all day with you.
What are you, Kenyan?
Is everything okay?
Still on course, honey. We gotta go.
I'm gonna tell you what's going on. Sandy here likes to watch.
Oh, no. I can't let this woman out of my sight. This is awesome. You're diabolical.
Thanks.
You're crazy! That's not a compliment.
I know.
You got hit by a car. Are you even human?
The trick is to just relax your legs. Read it on WikiHow.
How about some music? My milkshake
wings all the more. There was 500 miles. Dude, I can't can hit the...
You okay?
So I left out the joke in my description of Identity Thief. As you can see, I did not see Identity Thief, but I can tell you, I can tell you, it is about a man played by Jason Bateman whose identity is stolen, and he has to track down the.
You knew it was Jason Bateman just from that?
Well, no. I have seen commercials and previews. I do that kind of thing. I have an extensive TV repertoire. So Chris, I believe you've seen this movie. What is it, good? Is it terrible?
I think Richard and I were discussing it off air. I think it's a good movie. Top grossing comedy of the year, I believe, did very well at the audience.
Very well.
Melissa McCarthy kind of, you know, continuing her role of successful comedy films, also starring in Heat. Coming out later this summer with Sandra Bullock. Mm-hmm. Just a fun movie. It's very much a character-driven story, a you know, inverse buddy picture. Instead of, you know, them liking each other, they hate each other on a road trip. So it's sort of a set format for a movie. But you've got Jason Bateman kind of doing that, you know, persnickety, retentive thing that he does. You know, he's got that one... you know, reaction look that he does in his movies all the time where it's like something really outrageous happens. And he does this, like, you know, it's just like a little head nod, twist to the side, you know, doesn't say anything, furrows his brow. And it's just, it looks that sort of says to the audience, you know, I can't believe that, you know, all this stuff is happening to me. And then, you know, this is being, you know.
I will say that he had perhaps the greatest reaction shot of all time in Extract, which no one probably saw.
I love that film.
Oh, yeah.
And it is so brilliant. And it's exactly what you just pictured, what you just mentioned there. So, watch, fast forward until you get to that part in Extract, and watch that. It's just an outstanding reaction shot. He's the master.
Yeah.
I mean, these are two people who I think are kind of like Owen and you know, Vince, in the sense that they kind of have their shtick.
Yeah.
But in this case, I don't think we're tired of it.
No.
I think that they find ways to twist it a little bit, and I think that both of these people have a little more range. So, I mean, you do get a little more invested in their characters.
And there's, like, a little bit of bittersweet at the end or towards the end.
Yeah.
So that they don't just, you know, the people don't remain cartoons all the way through. So I would definitely recommend Identity Thief. So I have not seen A Good Day to Die Hard, which is the, you know, fourth?
Four,
Die
Hard fifth. 47, Die
Hard
movie?
I
think.
Fifth?
The fifth Die Hard, yes.
Okay,
I wish
boy.
You would just die.
Well, it's awfully hard to die, so...
But it's a good day for it.
But apparently it was a good day. So do we have any audio for that? Or
no
audio? You know,
explosion, gunfire.
How about somebody dying?
Yippee-ki-yay.
You saw this one?
I did. I actually watched it just last night. I caught it on Blu-ray. Yeah. It was not good.
You should have come to Kings of Summer. It was a lot better.
It would have been much more fun. The quality time with John McClane is not as quality as it used to be.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
why is it that I caught it on Blu-ray? Sounds like some sort of medieval disease, doesn't it? And then in 1457, lots of people caught it on the Blu-ray.
It's kind of like catching cinematic crabs.
Yeah. Yes. So basically, in a nutshell, John McClane has another child that he does not get along with. Who kicks lots of butt, and he doesn't know about it, much like the last film, which was called Live Free or Die Hard. This is much the same, except now John McClane finally goes to Russia, because that's what we've all been waiting for. And he meets his son, who is... No, not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
He stopped caring like two films ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah, after Samuel L. Jackson was kind of the end of what we cared about with Die Hard.
What was the third one?
Third one was Die Hard with a Vengeance, co-starring Samuel L. Jackson. It also starred Jeremy Irons was the villain, involving a bomb in
God, I have
New
no
York
memory
City.
Of it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Were there any snakes on a plane?
No, that was another movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the first, yeah. I don't know.
What was four?
Four was Live Free or Die Hard. Which is also co-star Justin Long of the Mac Guy fame. And you, what did he say that his line in that movie was, you killed a helicopter with a car. Crickets. Yeah. It was actually the fourth one was actually sort of well received by some people. I'm not one of those people.
No.
nor was I in this. Bruce Willis is looking very old in this movie.
Yeah.
Let's face it. The people who want to watch this film aren't listening to us right now.
Probably not.
So Bruce Willis, erases all the goodwill he built up from Looper.
Yes, yes, and pretty then much. Some.
Yeah. All right, we also got Warm Bodies. I thought this was a very surprising movie. It's not a great movie, but it's a good movie. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most surprising original films of the year. It is a zombie comedy romance. Yes. Mm-hmm. About a zombie teenage boy who falls in love with a living human girl. And I know you're probably turning off the radio right now, but trust me, it's a fun movie that never goes in the direction that you would expect. Mm-hmm. And the performances are all really nice, and I really enjoyed Warm Bodies.
I really enjoyed that one.
I will say, I've heard good things about it, not having seen it. It gets a lot of the original things. Mm-hmm. There was a film back in, I believe, 1993, called My Boyfriend's Back, about a zombie boyfriend.
But that was just straight doofy comedy.
This is much better than that, we promise.
All right.
This is much better.
If you weren't already scared of the movie, I will say this is also a translation of a light translation of a well-known Shakespearean play.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I know. I'm never going to watch that. Watch it. Give Warm Bodies a chance.
Shakespeare is now a zombie, in case you didn't realize that.
The lead character's name is Julie, right? And the zombie's name is R or something.
Yeah, R.
Right? Am I right? Yeah. Spoiler alert. So there you go. Yeah.
Cool.
Nicholas.
You said spoiler alert after you spoiled
it. That's not how it works.
Oops. He was dead the whole time.
Spoiler. That's not how you do it. We should mention.
You're wrong, Joe.
Nicholas Holt. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes. Yeah.
Starring in two of the year's, unfortunately, underwhelming movies.
Underappreciated.
We call them bombs, Chris.
Yeah. Also in Jack the Giant Slayer, which is a much better movie than Oz the Great and Powerful, and yet they're similarly themed.
Yeah.
No, I like Jack the Giant Slayer.
I thought it was
much better.
You're spending too much time with the kid again.
Nicholas Holt, we should mention, is also carving out a nice career.
Okay.
He's in the new X-Men film. He plays Beast. He played in the last film also.
Used to be Jennifer Lawrence's boyfriend.
And I never...
It's all downhill from here on.
Yeah, and his character of the Beast in the last X-Men movie, his big existential challenge and problem in life was that my feet are ugly.
Yeah.
I've got big, ugly, hairy feet.
I use that line all the time.
Oh.
This could go
Breaking Bad, Breaking Bad Season 5, the multi-Emmy award-winning show, which I caught up with through Netflix and
Blu-ray.
And also some less savory streaming sites.
Oh.
I have a question here for maybe you guys Breaking Bad fans. They had said they were going to split up Season 5 into two separate summers. So it would be 8 episodes last summer and then 8 episodes this summer. And yet now here they are putting this out on video. So I'm not sure why that is. But I guess what they're calling the rest of Season 5 or just Season 6, that's going to start debuting, I think, mid-July. So check that out for Breaking Bad fans.
I think after 5 seasons they could have just... They could break bad.
Yeah, just break bad.
It would have been a long time.
I'm mainly pointing out that if this holds true, that that's their season 5, where we're, used to be like, it was like 28 episodes a season, then it was 22, now people have been doing less and less.
Mm-hmm.
South Park is doing just 10 episodes this season, so now we're going to have a season that's 8 episodes.
Well, there's so many episodes of South Park out there, you could just run 8 new ones and just mix them in. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Escape from Planet Earth, which is a theatrical release animated movie that came out, I guess it was it towards the end of last year? I didn't see it.
That's the second sequel to Escape from New York, right?
No.
That's
out.
Wow.
The original Mummy with Boris Karloff is out on Blu-ray. Rope.
Yes.
Rope. Jimmy Stewart, Alfred Hitchcock movie. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is the one. It's all done in live time.
Yeah, yes. I think this is the person in the trunk movie, right?
So it's all done completely in live with no. Officially, there's no edits, although you can spot two or three. Where they basically ran out of film. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Probably one of Hitchcock's lesser known movies. The Mad Max trilogy out on Blu-ray. Yeah. You can buy them separately or all together. I love those movies. The third one's not quite as good.
Master Blaster.
Cool.
Yeah. The Last Ride and The Home Run, which I believe, Richard, you're going to talk about.
I was going to talk about those briefly. They're kind of two independent films. Home Run is for primarily the faith-based crowd. It stars Scott Elrod, who we saw in Argo, as a ball player with a substance abuse problem. he's sent to rehab. It's, you know, a feel-good, faith-based film. Mm-hmm. It had a theatrical release for a couple of weeks, about a month and a half, 2 months ago. But I think fans who really enjoy the faith-based films are going to enjoy this one. It's a solid, entertaining film, kind of along the lines of the Sherwood Pictures films, you know, like Facing the Giants and those.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with some real-life issues. So I would give that one a definite recommendation. And then The Last Ride played at the Homegrown Hoosier Film Festival, I think 2 or 3 years ago, was produced by Benji Gaither, a local.
Nice.
And good film about Hank Williams Sr., about his last ride, basically his last, you know, day or so of going through his hometown, kind of reliving some of his regrets and kind of a period piece. Henry Thomas, who everybody still knows from E.T.,
sure, yeah,
plays Hank Williams Sr. and does a really nice job with it. So it's one of those independent films that I really like to push because it's just it's really well done. I think people will enjoy both of those films.
It's great, great local connection there too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. Next up is our tip of the hat to those who passed on, cheekily known as Dead People We Like.
Doing our, the annual show of, Dead People We Like.
There's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
Which is completely wrong because it's a weekly. It's a weekly show.
Well, it just depends on, you know, the scheduling. It doesn't have to be.
It depends on the dying.
Yeah. It depends on the Grim Reaper schedule.
Well, Grim Reaper actually had a pretty light week. I don't know if he was on vacation, farmed it out to his intern, but...
People are doing a lot of yoga.
Not that grim this week.
Not very grim. Zia Khan, fairly well-known young Bollywood star. I think she was just breaking over into Hollywood.
Was she in Life of Pi?
She might have had a small role. I forget. but she was just making her break into small films in and tragically passed. We also had Gloria O'Connor, who had a nice little film career herself, but is mostly known as the widow of the great Donald O'Connor. So a couple of passings there, and
do we know anything she was in?
I looked her up on IMDb, but unfortunately didn't write it down on my little cheat sheet here.
Because my mind was drawing a blank, and that...
I think she was one of those people that had a career, and then she got married, and that became her career.
Oh, that's sweet.
There's anything wrong with that, but
no, not at all, not at all.
Something, you know, I do the Reeling Backward column there at the filmyap.com, and you know, I always do some research, like, on the people that are in it or those that made it. It's disturbing how often I go there and I see, you know, I'll find an actress. I was like, wow, there's a really promising young actress. And I'll go look at her career and I'll be like, she had this movie, then she had, like, 2 or 3 more movies, then a couple supporting parts, and then she was done.
Yeah.
And a lot of time that was, you know, they decided to get married and have kids. And, you know, back in that days, that was what you did. But a lot of times it was just, you know, things didn't go anywhere for them, and I'm always sad when I read that about it. People may remember an actress I talk about from time to time, Mae Wynn, who got her big break in The Caine Mutiny, and she played the character of Mae Wynn. Yes, that's right. She was a real actress.
Talk about typecast.
Real actress who, for the purposes of her career, this was her first big movie. She took on a stage name of her character in the movie, isn't that just bizarre? I mean, imagine if Carrie Fisher was known today as Princess Leia. Did Leia have a last name, by the way?
Yes.
Organa.
Yes,
Leia
Princess
Organa.
Leia Organa. Yeah.
Very, very
Skywalker. Skywalker Organa.
Yeah. And so Maywin was
spoiler
really...
alert. Did I do that wrong again?
Maywin was really good in that movie, and she made I think a couple other movies, and that was it. Unfortunately, that happens a lot.
I'm sorry, he ruined your moment again, Chris.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, I just mentioned that because we're at the time here. I don't think we have a what is Kobe watching. Kobe hasn't watched anything. Apparently.
No, I can't even remember the last thing I watched.
Kobe's
Bianca's
busy.
Been trying to work her way through the Lord of the Rings trilogy because
Ooh.
Our upstairs neighbor has them, and he and his kids are all about it.
Yeah.
I've seen the second one.
Watch out of order.
I think you're going out of order there.
Yeah, that is not something you can watch out of order.
I don't know. I just can't get into it. I don't. Not my thing. Wizards, dragons.
Watch for if you want a summary. Watch Clerks 2. There's a very good summary of those three films.
That's true.
I would be more likely to do that.
Yeah, you should. You should. Yeah, it takes like 3 minutes, and you got all 3 movies done.
Okay.
Not the 9. No, maybe you should actually watch them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, some things in life you can do out of order, like making love. You know, you can start with the, you know, skip the foreplay, go straight into other things. But other things in life, like changing the carburetor on a car, you can't do out of order. So that is,
and you cannot watch The Lord of the Rings.
Can't watch The Lord of the Rings out of order.
What is going on?
Sex and carburetors.
Joe is very frightened.
Wow.
We're going to suggest to Matt Soce he change the name of Film Sociology to Sex
I would watch a show called Sex and Carburetors. Well, we've got a few minutes left. You guys just want to talk about, you know, we are about, I mean, it sounds crazy, the first Friday in June, but cinematically speaking, this is about the midpoint of summer. Mm-hmm. You know, July 4th is usually kind of about the big last hurrah, maybe one or two others in July.
Outside of Superman, what do we have left?
Smurfs 2.
Yeah, what, there's a lot.
I'm psyched.
Moving to August, is it Pacific Rim? Is that in August?
I think that's July. That's mid-July.
That's July. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah,
Guillermo del Toro directed that, so I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, not a whole lot of huge things coming up left. Mm-hmm. So you guys want to just talk about the summer thus far, assessing the summer movie season thus far?
I mean, there's still a few. The Wolverine still coming up. The month of July.
Does anybody actually care about that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's oddly kind of quiet, and it's kind of under the radar, which is kind of troubling.
Nobody even likes Wolverine.
The thing is, people were so enthusiastic about his character in the X-Men movies, and then so unenthusiastic about the movie, which just because it wasn't a particularly good movie.
Yeah, and even now he's Hugh Jackman and everyone involved with this film is distancing themselves from the first one. I mean, they're all but saying it was not very good. They missed out on quite a few things, and literally, if you go and read the interviews he's doing for the Wolverine, he's saying these things. So there's a lot of that distancing. This is an entirely different movie. It's not a sequel. It actually takes place after the third X-Men film. So
does he use that voice?
Yeah, I can't do the voice Hugh Jackman does.
For those who don't know, so this is a character that was kind of, brought in the 1970s for the X-Men. Mm-hmm. They didn't quite want it to do with him, but he kept becoming more popular. So in the early 1980s, he had his own limited run, mm-hmm. Which was then gathered up into a very popular graphic novel called just Wolverine. And it's about, it's sort of not really so much his backstory, but it's about, it really developed a character. It's about he goes to Japan, he falls in love with this girl, he wants to marry her, but her father is a crime kingpin. Mm-hmm. And from looking at the trailers, they've really changed it around from that, but the basic bones of the story is there. So I have hope. I mean, this is, I think, the last shot for this character. They're obviously not making more X-Men movies unless they, because, I mean, they had the X-Men reboot.
Yeah.
So they're going to go down that path without the Wolverine character. So.
Well, next year is X-Men Days of Future Past, where they're going to mix the First Class universe with the modern. Wolverine will be a part of that. So.
Really?
Yes. Okay, wow. So that's the
big. I love
big.
It when your inner nerd comes out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's on full display.
We've got a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, too. We still got the Lone Ranger.
Yeah,
I am psyched about that one.
Yeah, I'm actually a fan. I'm of the Lone Ranger from being a kid. I am not sure how this movie's going to turn out.
You are aware though that Johnny Depp plays Tonto, and they've said flat out Tonto is the main character in this.
Where's actually
a dead crow on his head?
I read a story just today where he tries to give us his explanation for why. And it has to do with respecting the Native American culture, and I don't really buy it.
Yeah, I don't buy it either.
Still, if they do their partners thing, maybe all of the advertising thus far has been very Depp-centric. So, yeah, I would say I'm cautiously, maybe a touch optimistic. I'm on the border, perhaps, but.
I can plug my. Yeah, another 300 movie?
Yeah, there's
another 300.
They're calling it 301.
It's
going to
be a great one.
Yeah, involving none of the original 300. Of course, they all died at the end of the movie. Spoiler alert. Man, I keep doing that wrong.
And Richard, I think you got something to talk about before we go.
I just wanted to give a quick plug. I am going to be making a comedy appearance on June 24th at a show called All American Laughs at Broad Ripple American Legion. It's a 7:30 show, free admission, and it's an all-ages show, so feel free to come on out.
So I can bring my kids, Richard?
You can bring your kids.
Are you gonna
I would have a lot of fun
would
with
you,
your kids.
Would you heckle them for me?
I absolutely would. You know that. I love your children.
All right. Well, that was Richard Probst. I'm Christopher Lloyd.
I'm Joe Scheer, I think.
Great.
And this was the Film Sociology Show here on WFYHD To The Point. I believe Matt is going to be back next week, correct?
Sure hope so.
I don't know.
For our sake. For our sake.
I know everyone out there is sure hoping so.
And that's Kobe Slagle, by the way.
Yes. Good night, Fort Myers. We gone.
Good night.